This audio is produced and distributed by the Christian Biblical Church of God, Post Office Box 1442, Hollister, California, 95024-1442. For the Canadian office and offices overseas, listen at the end of the message, please. To visit our websites, they are cbcg.org and biblicaltruthministries.org. Okay, let's ask a couple of questions here. Let's put ourselves mentally back into the time. Let's go back to about 1850. So we won't get involved in war or anything like that. If you picked up the Bible and were reading the Bible, and you were reading the book of Revelation, let's go to the book of Revelation, Revelation 13. Now, you had the whole history of the world. You understood pretty much the whole history of the world. And reading Revelation 13, so you're reading about the mark of the beast. And, of course, even today, just reading it for the first time, if you've never read it, it is kind of hard to understand. But here, Revelation 13, it says, and verse 16, and he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. It says, here's wisdom, here's understanding, 666. Okay. How would you understand that in the contemporary time of 1850? How would you understand that? And yet there's a certain amount of understanding that you can get from it, even if you went back before 1850. Say you were clear back in 1350. Let's just say 1450. And I bring up 1450 because my wife saw on television the other morning, they were showing ancient or antique and ancient musical instruments. And I just happened to be, it was about 9 in the morning. I was sailing out for an appointment, and I looked over at the television screen, and here was a nice, beautiful, wood-crafted box with a lid on it. And it had a keyboard. And I didn't know what he was talking about. See, I looked over, and I thought, boy, that's a nice little piano. Okay. And Dora said, no, this is not a piano. He's showing about a clavichord. Now, a clavichord has a little keyboard. It looks just like one of these little electrical Casio things that you would buy today. And then it showed the top of it. It showed the strings going down, you know, like the lap harp. You know, you've seen those. And you pushed the key, and it struck the strings, and it sounded almost like a one of those, what came after the clavichord, before the harpsichord. So almost, not quite, because harpsichord plucked it. See, whenever you push the keys, a harpsichord would spring and it would pluck it. Well, here they had it with the enough spring in it, so you'd push the key and it would kick up a hammer and strike the string. And I thought to myself after seeing that, you know, these people weren't clear back then. They were not, as it's pictured today. They didn't know anything. They had no technology. They were stupid. They were, man is evolved. Hey, that was a fine-looking instrument. It sounded nice. They could play a lot of things on it. Had a keyboard just like we have a keyboard today. I mean, it was no different. And so that got me to thinking, if you had all the history going back and you had a, good understanding, and you were reading Revelation 13, how would you begin to approach any understanding of what this has? Well, the way you would do, you would study and you would find that image also means mark. Or it also means sign. Not the image, rather. I mean the mark. Mark means a sign. Can be an insignia. It can be whatever distinguishes something. Okay? Now, the way that it had been approached, and the way that the, back in the 1850s, that the Church of God Seventh Day approached it was this way. Let's go back to Exodus 31. And, of course, the Church of God Seventh Day has had different groups that kept the holy days and different groups that didn't keep the holy days. But here's how they understood it then, which was not exactly wrong, but it really wasn't exactly correct. You know, there are many times you can understand prophecies during a period of history in which you are living, and the way you apply it is not complete, because obviously these things are going to be understood at the end. But down through history, it had to be good enough, had to fit, so that you could understand what was going on. Okay? Now here, Exodus 31 and verse 12, it says, "The Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Speak you unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily my Sabbath you shall keep, for it is a sign," and that means a mark or a banner or a signal, "between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord that does sanctify you." Then it says about keeping the Sabbath and so forth, and comes down here to verse 17, or the last part of verse 16, "a perpetual covenant, signed between me and the children of Israel forever." And then it reiterates about the creation, or why God gave the Sabbath. Okay? So just to summarize it without going through much detail on it, the Church of God Seventh-day doctrine at that time, and I'm sure that it was pretty much all the way down through the history of the Church of God, in varying degrees of it, was that the mark of the beast was what? Sunday worship. And sure enough, Sunday and Christmas and Easter and Halloween and all this are a sign of the beast system. And the beast system has always been going on somewhere from the time of Nebuchadnezzar on. So it's a sign of the beast system. And so, just going over some of the things that we've covered concerning the mark of the beast, I sent off for this one. Here's a new booklet put out by Church God International, "What is the Mark of the Beast?" And I thought, boy, oh boy, this would be, you know, ought to be a good one. And I was really very disappointed in it. Very disappointed in it, because it says here, right in the front, it says, "In the book of Revelation, God says a beast having two horns like a lamb, yet speaking as a dragon, will cause all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or upon their forehead. And anyone refusing that mark, no man refusing that mark will be able to buy or sell. God says terrible plagues will fall on them," so forth. You need to know what the mark of the beast is. Okay? So I went through the whole booklet. Does a very good job telling about the sign of God, the Sabbath, and things like that. Gives a history of when it was changed and so forth. Then right at the end, the first thing you always do to know where they begin and where they end, you read the front and the back. And then you know exactly where it's going to fit in between. So I read the back. And it says here, let me find it. Oh. Just a minute, let me put this on hold here. Okay, here we go. It says, "The image of the beast is nothing more than the papacy," which that's the way it was explained way back when, years and years and years and years ago, that the papacy imaged in their government structure the old pagan Roman Empire. So therefore, the Catholic Church was the image of the beast. And that is not correct, because Greek there is icon. It means a statue. Okay? Now, it says, "Its mark is Sunday, Christmas, Easter, Halloween, and New Year's, which blot out the knowledge of God's purpose and plan as revealed through his weekly Sabbath and holy days. It is a counterfeit sign or mark from the true sign between God and his people. Thus, if you keep Sunday and Christmas and Easter and so forth, you have the mark of the beast. If you keep God's ways, you have the mark of God or the sign of God. If you have the sign of God, now I'm going to draw the conclusion, which he did not draw because he never answered the question concerning buying and selling except to say that credit cards were not the mark of the beast. Which we know, credit cards are not the mark of the beast. We understand that. But he never addressed the question of buying and selling. See, because when you start out with a premise, the whole basic thing you need to do is to prove it. So your conclusion must prove the premise. Never address the fact, because if you do this, if you keep the Sabbath and holy days, you do not have the mark of the beast. And if you do not have the mark of the beast, you cannot buy and sell. If Christmas, Easter, and New Year's and so forth, and Halloween is in fact the mark of the beast, then you cannot buy and sell. Now, there's logic is faulty there, because you can buy and sell. Now, we know we don't have the mark of the beast. We know we have the sign of God, as well as wherever God's people are. They have the sign of God upon them. And, of course, the one that Jesus gave, saying, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love for one another. Okay. Therefore, if the mark of the beast were Sunday keeping, Christmas, Easter, Halloween, and so forth, we should not be able to buy and sell, correct? Wouldn't that be correct? One has to follow the other. Okay? So can we buy and sell? We can buy and sell. So therefore, Christmas, Easter, Halloween, and all this sort of stuff is a sign of the system. It is one of the signs of the beast, but it is not the mark of the beast. Because if you do not have the mark of the beast, you cannot buy and sell. Okay? Now, they used to say that it was the blue laws that they had. You can't buy and sell on Sunday. That's the mark of the beast. But that's not necessarily true, because you can buy on Monday if you keep the Sabbath. You can buy on Tuesday. You can buy on Wednesday and Thursday and Friday before sunset. And you won't conduct business on Sabbath. And if they close everything down on Sunday, then you're out 2 days. Can you still buy and sell the other 5 days? Yes, you can. So therefore, that is not the mark of the beast. It's part of the system. While it is true that credit cards are not the mark of the beast, and I agree with that, credit cards are not the mark of the beast. Okay? Let's go back to Revelation 13 here just a minute. Credit cards are not the mark of the beast. I want to make that clear. However, when you look at the mark of the beast, and you look at what this says in the Greek, okay? Some people say if you have a credit card, that's the mark of the beast. If you hold it in your hand, it's in your right hand. Well, what if you always held your credit card in your left hand? Okay? And you kept it in the left side of your wallet, in the left side of your purse, not in the right hand. And you never memorized any numbers that you had. Because some people said that the bank card, which you could go and you can put in like right out here at the bank, and then you have the personal identification number, the PIN number. If you put that number in, that's in your forehead. So you have the card in your right hand, and you have the number in your mind, so it's in your right hand and your forehead. So therefore, that is the mark of the beast. No, that's not the mark of the beast. because the Greek is very clear. Very clear. Now it says, verse 16, Revelation 13, he causes all. And you see, back in the 1850s, you could never comprehend all. I mean, before 1492, you wouldn't know the other half of the world existed. Okay? So he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. Now, the Greek word in is the word, just a minute here. Okay, the Greek word for in is epi. And epi means upon. And the phrase epites geis is upon the earth. It's referring to people. Now, we are not in the earth. By any stretch of the imagination, we are not in the earth. We are on the earth. Now, the mark is to be put upon. Epi, upon, is to be put upon the right hand or upon the forehead. So it is something that goes right on the hand, right on the forehead. Now it has to do with buying and selling. No place here does it talk about which day you observe. This is strictly business, okay? It has to do with worship, has to do with idolatry, but here then we come down to a common ground which affects all human beings, okay? So it's something that is put upon your hand or upon your forehead. Now let's just solve the problem here a little bit. Let's go back to Hebrews, the 10th chapter, and this is where it helps if you know Scripture well, and if you know your Bible well, then what you do, you test every statement you make or every Scripture with another one, okay? So that you understand that what you're doing is right, okay? Now, verse 16, Hebrews 10 and verse 16 says, this is the covenant that I will make with them after these days, says the Lord, giving, now I'm going to read it here from the interlinear, okay? God says here, it says here translated in the King James, it says, I will put my laws into their hearts and into their minds while I write them. Now, Let me read this here. It says, yes. And giving my laws into their heart and into their minds also, and I will inscribe them into, part of, inscribe them. Okay? Now, where are the laws of God? The Greek word here is epi also. So it can mean in, like on the surface of. But what's he talking about here? He's talking about within, inscribing. Okay? That's interesting, isn't it? He's going to inscribe. I will write them. Let's see what it says, chapter 8. Let's see what the prepositions are here in chapter 8. Chapter 8 and verse 10. 8 and verse 10. Because this is covenant I will make with him after those days, said the Lord, giving my laws into, here the word is different, it is eis, E-I-S, that is the Greek word into. The other one then is once you're into the mind, then you inscribe upon, you write upon. Okay, yes, chapter 8 and verse 10. Giving my laws into their mind and upon their hearts, will I inscribe them, and I will be to them for God, and they shall be to me for a people. Okay? So, when, in studying this, you can see how easy it is to say, okay, If you have the laws of God in your mind and in your heart, you don't have the mark of the beast. If you worship idols, if you keep Sunday, if you keep Christmas and Easter and all the pagan holidays, that is also in your mind. So you can see how easily this can be transferred one to the other. So it is not exactly incorrect to say that those days are a sign of that system. But it doesn't prevent you from buying and selling. So you have to go one step further. And people before this day and age would never be able to understand it. Now, I'm not going to go through all the computer stuff we did sometime last summer about what they can do with computers and so forth. However, I think here's a nice little trial balloon that we can look at today. What's going to happen to enforce buying and selling or the lack thereof? Okay? Panama banks closed. You know the whole story there. I'll just hold up the headline. And if you saw the news last night, here are these poor people. And we're in a different situation than we were 130 years ago. You know, you could go out and barter with a local farmer that was just a mile out of town. See, not today. No way. Everything is set up, and I just listened to what the people said on the news. They came to the bank. All the banks were closed. Who closed the banks? Who closed the banks? Partly freezing the money over here. That's correct. You see, now you can conquer without firing a shot. See, years ago, this was not possible because you had your own treasuries. You had your own mint. Now, Panama is unusual in as much as that it's another country, but it uses U.S. dollars. So that makes it unusual. But they have shut it down. Poor people, here, this woman came to the bank and said, oh, I need to cash it because, you know, I need to make my house payment. And I thought, boy, oh boy. Go to the grocery store, no checks, no money orders, no payroll checks, cash, or no have of the goods. You cannot get, what do you, your money's not in the bank. A figure saying what is your understanding and a bank's understanding of what you supposedly have is in the bank. See? And all that is figures, yes. See? But I thought when I saw that, and I know it's tough when you don't have any money because we went 10 weeks between closing loans. See? And that's a long time. We stretched everything to the maximum. I mean, we were stretched out. God saw us through and it's working everything out, so it's going to be just fine. But when I was going through that, I said to myself, I know what it's going to be like when no one can buy and sell. Now, they banged on the bank doors. They made telephone calls to the banks. They, you know, tried to get in touch with the bank presidents, etc., 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 and they said, sorry. We just do not have the cash to do it. So you conquer them by turning off the bucks and just say, well, sorry, it's policy. You remember what I said one time about buying in the grocery store when they go to the Mark of the Beast? And you go in there and, you know, it's going to be voluntary at first till the beast is shot. Then it's going to be enforced. Gradually, they will change the policy over. I know what's going to happen. Pretty soon, the grocery stores will say, well, we're going to cut down on our supply of cash. So what we want you to do is to use the bank machine over here. We don't even want to be bothered with checks because it costs us too much to process the checks. And you go in and you say, well, I don't want to use that debit card. Well, sorry, that's all we do now. Well, I just want to buy some of these few things here. I have some money in my pocket. Can I pay cash? No, sorry, we don't take cash anymore. Well, can I write a check? It's going to my bank. Sorry, no, we worked out an agreement with the bank that we just do this automatic transaction now. We'll be glad to do it that way. So then you say, okay, well, then I'll do it. So you get a card and you go ahead with the card. Then the day is going to come where they're going to say, there has been too much counterfeiting and stealing of these cards. And besides, we have all this underground economy that we couldn't get rid of when we recalled the currency and made everybody go buy cards. So what we're going to do, we have this ideal system, and we're going to have put upon your right hand or your forehead. And someone's going to say, well, can you put it on my left hand? Or, you know, can you put it on my, you know. They'll say no because it's not easy to screen. We want something where you can just take your hand and pass under and it's easy to screen. Doesn't make any difference, your right hand or left hand, you know. Or in your forehead, see, because then, and it's going to be, you won't be able to buy and sell. And that'll happen instantly. And not a shot will be fired, just like the closing of the banks in Panama. All of a sudden, one day, when they get it all in place and it's all ready to go, that's what's going to happen. Okay, where is it that you go against God in receiving that for buying and selling? How is it that you go against God? Because that's a logical thing to ask. I mean, after all, you have to eat, right? And God knows you have to eat. Isn't that correct? So what is the situation here? Does God want all of his people now to, you know, we'll know who all the Christians are because in 3 weeks they'll all be skinny and walking down the road and God and starving to death? Is, you know, is that what God wants? Okay, let's back up here to Revelation 13, just a few verses, see. Revelation 13. Now, he causes all. He makes it happen to them. It's an enforced thing now. Okay? See what it says here. Let's pick it up in verse 11. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon. I'm not quite sure what the two horns represent, but I have an idea or two in mind that I'm thinking on, studying on. I hope I can be able to answer why two horns. Why not three? Why not four? Why not one? But here it has two. Okay. And he exercises all the power, and that means authority, of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them that dwell in there to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. Okay, so here you're getting into idolatry. Okay.
This is religion.
That's right. Turn to religion and economics. Did you hear about the Pope's latest encyclical that he wrote saying that the capitalists are all wrong and the communists are all wrong? We need a whole new system and share the wealth with the world. He's supposed to be a religious figure, right? Okay. And does great wonders so that he makes fire come down from heaven on earth in the sight of men, and deceives them that dwell upon the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an idol, an image, an icon to the beast. In this particular case, it is for the beast. For the beast. Which had the wound by a sword and did live, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast. In this case, it is of. In one case, it's for, and here it is of. That the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Okay, so there's idolatry in it. and he causes all. Now, this doesn't tell us if it's simultaneous with the beginning of the image, or if it's afterwards. So it'd have to be in the context either simultaneous or afterwards, because you can't say it at the same time. Okay? Yes, that they should be killed. So here's martyrdom. So you have to have idolatry with this. And it's the idolatrous system that will be coming along, which will be the Great Babylon. Okay, so he causes all. He instigates it to be done. Both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark upon their right hands or upon their foreheads, that no one might buy or sell. Let me see that word in the Greek, might. Let me see what it is here. Okay, that's what I thought. And no one should be able to buy. Now, that the Greek here is from the root word dunamis, which is the power. Now, there's another word that is translated power, which it comes from the Greek word exousios, which is authority. So here, this means the ability to buy or sell. You won't be able to buy or sell. And I just wonder if this will not all pretty well transpire very rapidly. The first beast is shot or killed, revived, comes back. He's declared he's God on earth. They make the image to the beast. And then to show the loyalty to the system that this will never happen again, everybody has to have this mark, and we're also going to enforce it economically. Now, obviously, you can't go very long without buying and selling. And you surely, you know, it'd be good to have a few things stored up, but you're not going to be able to store up to last very long, and God doesn't intend it to last very long. Either you are going to be taken to a place of safety, or you're going to be one of those that are martyred. Unfortunately, you know, we don't like to hear those words, but that's just what is going to happen. And I think it's going to be just like this. We have the answer for the economic chaos. All the banks are closing today, and you're instructed to go to your local bank wherever you are, and they have the special equipment there, and they will put upon you a mark. It will be put right on your hand or on your forehead, whichever one you have the option, whichever one you like, and we'll conduct all business that way from now on. And as people go on to have it done, they'll check off their accounts and open them up and let them buy and sell. And as strange as it may seem, there are two things that are happening in the Soviet Union now. They're now letting them buy land, and buying it on time with installment payments and interest, little portions of land, and they're also letting the Visa and MasterCard in. So it's starting. Why, brother? Let's think about it. Why all of a sudden that the Soviet Union starts this great peace thing that they're doing? And why, as we look back, that China came to the point that they are all changing? Okay? And why is it that we are changing? We are. We're becoming more socialist. This is not a republic. It has not been a republic for quite a while. And this is not a democracy. It just isn't. It is social. It is socialism. More and more. Well, it's not like communism, you see. But it's becoming more and more and more, and the whole purpose is for those who are in charge of the world economic system to bring it into one. I mean, even President Ronald Reagan is now talking about a one world order. Not just an economy anymore, but an order. So it's coming. Now let's go to Luke, the fourth chapter, and here's a scripture we all know very well. And you probably know where I'm going to turn to. Verse 5. And the devil taking him up, and that is taking Jesus into a high mountain. Okay, here's part of the temptation. Showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this power will I give unto you in the glory of them, for it is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If you will therefore worship me, all shall be yours. Now, why is this system going to be instituted? You go back to Revelation 13. Let's see what's happening. I think this will help us also understand why there is such an absolute assault upon. Now, I am not saying Jim Baker, Jimmy Swagger, Dortch, and those others are ministers of God. They did do one thing, though. They did preach the name of Jesus Christ, which name Satan cannot stand. And so anyone who preaches anything about Jesus Christ is being assaulted. Now, we've seen that happen within the worldwide Church of God. The leaders were spiritually assaulted. Why would Satan want to do that? Very simple, to destroy any confidence people may have in any form of Christianity. That's why. Any form of Christianity. Okay? Remember where we just read that Satan said, if you will worship me, all will be yours? Okay, let's see what they do here. Revelation 13. And verse 3, and I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast, and they worshipped the dragon. They worshipped Satan. So in order for there to become this worldwide worship of Satan, you've got to have the destroying of anything that even smacks of Christianity. And I can understand why God is quietly just letting different people have their own little groups wherever they're going to be quiet in a way, because it's going to get tough. I look for it to really get tough. You see, then the screws will be put on you. And then here they are, worshiping Satan. Now, it's interesting. Since we're here, let's just follow along. Okay? Verse 5. Let me follow along here. Which gave power. So here's the one who is giving. Satan gives power, and which is gave authority, okay, and they did homage to the dragon who gave authority to the beast. Now let's back up to verse 2 here for just a minute. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard, feet of the feet of a bear, mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave to it his power, which in this case is dunamis. That is power, charisma, leadership. And number 2, his throne. And number 3, his great authority, exousios. His great authority. So all of this is given to this individual, see. Okay. Then they say, who is like unto the beast, who's able to worship him? Verse 5. And it was given by Satan unto it a mouth speaking great things and blasphemy. And blasphemy is anything that rants and raves against God, that is scurrilous against God, that berates God, that challenges God, that sits in the seat of God, and all that sort of thing. So there are a lot of people who just by their very action are very blasphemous in what they do. One comes to mind is that, who's that, Ray Taliaferro on the 1 to 5 o'clock show on KGO. He blasphemes God every night. Blasphemous. He's just, that's what blasphemy means. It's really something. A rancorous, hateful attitude toward God, see, to blaspheme. Now notice, and it was given, again, it was given. So all of these things are given. When the time comes for Satan to act, he's got a fistful of things he's going to do, and he is going to give to this one beast. And it was given authority, that is, it says power there, but it is actually authority, to continue 42 months. That is after he is wounded. And it opened its mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacles and those who dwell in heaven. Now notice verse 7. And it was given him. Again, notice what is given. See, just like with Satan and Job. Satan came to God. So God said, okay, you do this. But you can't do that. It was given to Satan to do it. So here it is to the beast. It was given to him. And imagine how electrifying this is going to be for people on the world political scene when this happens. I mean, this is going to be stunning. Supernatural things happen. Okay. Verse 7, it was given to it to make war with the saints. So it's not going to take very long before the war is going to start. Okay? And to overcome them. And it was given to it authority. That is the power of rulership. Over every tribe and tongue and nation. So that's why we're seeing all this economic thing. And here is one of the first tests that they can do. I want you to think about the closing of the banks in Panama, and I want you to think about America. And I want you to think about our national debt. And I want you to think about our corporate debt. And I want you to think about one thing that the article says here, if you didn't get it in your newspaper, that the Americans had immediate consultations with whom? Or did you pick that up on the news? With the Japanese. They had immediate consultations with the Japanese, so what? So they wouldn't infuse American dollars into Panama. Why? Because the Japanese have billions and billions and billions of dollars. So now you know how they can handle America very easily. They can squash America in a week. We close all of our international banks to any transactions with the United States. It is done. It's all done electronically. It's over with. So we're sitting here, you know, you don't need to be afraid to the point of being fearful. Because when it happens, it's going to happen. You know, it isn't going to do any good to get mad at God or mad at your neighbor or mad at the bank, but it's going to happen because authority was given. But that really made me sit up when I saw that and I said, boy, just think what can happen. And then I turned over to the Channel 9 news, and it was talking about the deficit, talking about the foreign trade, it was talking about, well, as long as the Japanese so let's think about it a minute. What happens if we get this real tough Gephardt bill passed, this trade bill, and it becomes a hammer and a fist in our trading partner's face, and they all get together and say, hey, we'll just stop all banking. That doesn't work, which it will. We'll stop all trade. You know how fast this country would go down? You couldn't even get to the bank in time to draw all the money out of your credit cards and draw all the money out of your accounts. It would be frozen instantly. I mean, we are sitting in a very, very precarious position. We really, really are. And only by the grace of God that we keep going, see. That's true. I mean, while I was suffering through the 10 weeks without having a loan closed, boy, I went through some pretty tough times. And I went through some pretty difficult times, you know. And it was almost like I was being assaulted to just put me in such a terrible financial position. And I felt that way. And I was down and depressed, man. Both my eyes looked like I ran into a Mack truck just from the worry of it, you know. You know, I have deep-set eyes naturally, and then when they get all black from worry and strain, man, I look like I'm a walking case, you know. And I'm sure Bob probably saw that because he brought the tapes over to me a couple times there. And, you know, you get to the point, there are times when about the only thing you can do is say, God, help me, here I am. You know, I don't know what on earth is going on, see. And I guess that's the point where God wants us to all be. See, and he brings circumstances around. Now I can understand why the mark of the beast is going to be so successful and why it's going to be so easy and why only those who know God are going to refuse it. See, they're the only ones who are going to refuse it because they will be the only ones who understand. And it's not going to take long. You're either going to go to a place of safety or you're going to be martyred. Now, how far down the road this is, I don't know. I don't know how long it's going to take to bring nations like Russia in, to bring other nations in. I don't know what it's going to take, but it says the whole earth here, see? And it was given to him to have authority over every tribe and tongue and nation. And all who dwell on the face of the earth, or on the earth, all who dwell upon, there's the word epitaskes, upon or on the earth, whose names are not written in the book of the life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. They're all going to worship the beast. To do homage, that also has to do with idolatry, but I'm sure it also has to do with going along with and giving adulation to. But I tell you what, this nation is set up. I mean, it is set up by its own devices and by what it has been doing, and it is incredible. And it's just a matter of what God is going to do is the thing that, and how far God is going to let this whole system develop before it explodes completely on the scene. But when it comes, it's going to be an overnight deal, just like this Panama thing. I can see that. Just. Oh, yeah, your question is, you question whether America owns America anymore. It's going day by day. That's right. It's going fast, day by day by day. You know, you look at the prophecies there about the strangers rising up in the midst of your again. That's what you said was the main fulfillment of prophecy in 1987. Oh, that is true. Yes, the strangers rising up very within your gates, very high above you, and you shall be brought low. Okay? Here, Deuteronomy 28. You don't speak a Chinese, get out. No. No, they ran a real estate survey in Milpitas, Los Gatos, and the homes selling at 300 plus are all to Orientals coming out of Hong Kong. Okay? Now, Deuteronomy 28, let's pick it up here in, verse 10, or verse 9. And the Lord shall establish you a holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will make you plenteous in goods, in the fruit of your body, in the fruit of your cattle, in the fruit of your ground, and the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give to you. And the Lord shall open unto you his good treasure, the heaven, to give rain unto the land in its season, to bless all the work of your hand, and you shall lend to many nations. That's what we did. After World War II, we lent to, we supported the whole world. We had, at the end of World War II, the largest hoard of gold that has ever been in any modern nation. You shall lend to many nations, and you shall not borrow. And the Lord shall make you the head, and not the tail. And you shall be above only, and you shall not be beneath. If that you hearken unto the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, to observe to do them. And you shall not go aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right hand or to the left hand, to go after other gods and serve them. Now, there is quite a fundamentalist, evangelical, charismatic, Protestant group, which are called the Restoration Group. They view America as part of Israel, of the 10 tribes. And many of them view it as Ephraim and Manasseh, considering England and America. Some say we're Ephraim, some say we're Manasseh. It's neither here or there. If you look at the blessing of Joseph, you will see the blessing was going to come to Joseph and Ephraim and Manasseh of Joseph. Okay. They are trying to institute the laws of the Bible as the laws of the land. And whenever you have a nation that disintegrates, and starting to disintegrate, you have all of the zealots who try and get back to what it was before. You always have that. That's what's happening in Mohammedanism now. Yeah, the different groups are fracturing off, and America's fracturing just, it's crazy. It's fracturing badly now. But anyway, just like when Jerusalem was falling, the zealot said, if we just return to God the way I understand we need to return to God, God will turn back the armies of the Romans, and we won't have to go through this. And if you read in Josephus all the things that were going on, all the fracturous and fighting parties that were going on in Jerusalem, it was something. You had the priest party, you had the liberals, you had the zealots, you had those who were just after their own ends, and you can see how that can build up here in America. Okay? So they see what God has said would be if we'd only follow God's way. Now, I don't think they're going to get very far in politics, because look at what Satan has done on all of the religionists. And look who's left. Jimenez and the Rock Church. That's about all. And look at some of these jokers on television. Okay? Now, they won't succeed very far, because when God says he's going to do something, he's going to do it, and it is going to happen. Now, let's go on. We know that if you don't do what God says, all these different things will come upon you. Now we're getting diseases that you can't be healed with. They just discovered this last week that there is another virus which causes a long-term leukemia, which takes, guess how long? Guess how long it takes to incubate before it comes out? 20 years. Now, remember what I mentioned about 1981, and I'll have to go through this again on the 2520 years. But in 1981 was when the shift in America took place. 1980 was the last year that we were a creditor nation. From 81 on, we become a debtor nation, and we are the world's largest debtor nation, period. Pales into insignificance, Mexico, Brazil, and Argentina combined. I mean, that's staggering. I mean, we can't even think of the figures on it. Okay? Here, let's go over to verse 43. Here's the scripture we wanted. And the stranger that is within you shall get up above you very high. You see, it doesn't happen all at once. The first major thing to change that was Brown versus the state of Arkansas in 1954 with the school thing. And then everything started breaking loose. Then others are coming in. We have so many people coming in here now into this country from so many different countries. It's incredible. And it's almost as if those in Congress are in a total stupor of blindness that they cannot see what is happening. And no one can say anything because it's like shouting to the wall. You get no response. Okay? So it says, very high above you, and you shall come down very low. That's what's going to happen. What's the biggest problem of young people today? Hard to get anything more than just a minimum wage. Yes, it is. Why? Because you're not worth it. Why? Well, because of the sins of the nation. They don't understand that. Now notice verse 44. He shall lend to you. Now just think of Japan. Think at the end of the Second World War with those atomic bombs blowing off. The nation was destroyed, bankrupt, radioactive because of the bombs in those areas. Spirit of the people broken totally, absolutely. No time has it ever been recorded in modern history with an unconditional surrender like the Japanese, who changed their religion, where the emperor declared himself not to be God but a human being, who changed their constitution and renounced all forms of war. Now what are they doing? They're lending to us. Short, what, 40 years later? 48 to 88, okay? He shall lend to you. And was it, yeah, weren't you mentioning you saw a list of the leading banks in the world? 8 out of 10 of them are Japanese. 15 years ago, 8 out of 10 were American. He shall be the head and you shall be the tail. Now, you know what's going to happen when they become the head. They are not going to treat you decently. That'll be just what'll happen. Okay? Moreover, all these curses shall come upon you and shall pursue you and overtake you till you be destroyed because you hearken not unto the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes which I commanded you, and they shall be upon you for a sign, for a wonder, and upon your seed forever, because you serve not the Lord your God with joyfulness and gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. No, we went into divorce, and we went into crime, and we went into all of these things. And I saw on a report, what was this, the Black History Month? That was this month of February, wasn't it? Black History Month. And I actually saw three leading blacks from the Bay Area say that even though the blacks have progressed, even though they've had civil rights, that it has destroyed the black community because the ones who could help the black community are up and they have fled and are living in the white community. So there again, that which appears good on the surface will turn to evil and destroy you. See, people are not content with what God has said. God has said that he set the bounds of the nations according to the number of children of Israel. That's what God has said. and he put them in their own nations. Babylonian philosophy is, well, everyone needs to be all together. We can live together. No, the human nature we have, brethren, it's very difficult. And then when you get stressed, then when you get persecuted, then when you get put down, then you have roving gangs like they have now coming up from Los Angeles. You know, they had 300 gang murders in Los Angeles last year. You're not told that very much, but they're the ones coming up here to San Francisco and causing all the problems with the dope. And boy, I feel sorry for Martha and Judy. You know, we'll send you some plated steel to put up in front of your windows here pretty soon, I tell you. Yeah. Well, I don't blame you. But now they're callous and don't care. You know, just like that policeman back in New York. He was guarding this guy's house, sitting out in the front of his house, guarding a witness so he could testify. The kids came up, 18 and 19, came up, boom, 4 shots, blew them right away. And that's just going to add more fuel to the fire. Everybody's going to become more polarized. See? And it's going to be an insurmountable problem. This nation is, I see one of the next things they're going to do. They are going to start having neighborhood militia. And they will all get together in a neighborhood and they will agree and say that we, as the citizens in a democracy, are going to protect our own property and our own rights. We do not want the police coming in here except as we call them. We will police our own streets and we will shoot on sight. You have it in Berkeley right now. And if anyone comes in here who doesn't belong here, we'll give them one warning. If not, we will waste them away. It's going to happen. Now, I can see it just as clear as day because it's becoming so fractured that everyone has his own opinion in his own set way and they're willing to shoot for it at the drop of a hat anymore. I hate to be a door-to-door salesman. Oh, yeah. Ooh. Now, I hope I'm not over-exaggerating, but I sense and feel that. You know, 3 years ago, I didn't. But I do today. You know, I'm not trying to be doom and gloom on this thing, but, you know, that's why Jesus said, be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. You know, don't get yourself all trapped in. And don't start arguing with someone you don't know. See? You know, don't argue with a clerk in a store. Nothing. Maybe argue over the phone with him, but don't argue in person because you don't know, you know, who may just pull a pistol and say, this is it, buddy. Now, here's another indication of how the society is going. Sex class covers the topic. Popular course at San Francisco explores the possibilities. Okay, they have a course for credit, University of San Francisco, right over here, that covers every sexual fantasy of human beings, including movies on pedophile, bestiality, and homosexuality that the whole group of 800 in the class can watch. So you know, I predict what's going to happen to San Francisco. I already did some time ago. I can be a little more thorough what's going to happen. San Francisco is going to be the first casualty of moral degeneracy in the nation. I mean, first-rate casualty. I think that before Art Agnos finishes his 4 years, the city is going to be broke because they're not telling the people that the $172 million deficit that the city of San Francisco has is because of taking care of AIDS patients for the last X number of years. It is going to be broke. Land values are going to go down. Taxes are going to go up. People who have families are going to flee out of it. Homosexuals and those with AIDS are going to flee into it, and it will become perhaps the first plague city in America. Everything is set there. No one can solve a thing. How many heard on KGO the other day? You can tell I've been doing a lot of driving this week. Ron Owens had this three-hour interview with all the neighbors of Hunter's Point. That community is so divided and arguing and bickering and ready to shoot and stomp and smash and hit and everything. They are all on the ragged edge. That's where they've been having, all the drug sales and the shooting of the 13-year-old kid with a toy pistol and selling all the crack. If that's what San Francisco is coming to, it won't take long. Anyone who wants any decency or peace or anything, they're going to be up and gone. And I predict San Francisco is going to go down. But this article here is too weird and too bizarre to read in public and read onto a tape. But I'll tell you one thing, that whatever God said in Leviticus 18 to not do, that's what they teach and give credit for. Everything God said, do not do. That's what they teach. And you know very well that anyone sitting in that class is going to have two choices. They're either going to abhor it and get away from it, or they will participate and experiment and do it to justify why they are there in that class. And when you have no God in your life, that's what's going to happen. It was really, really shocking. Okay. Here, Romans, the first chapter. I know we've gone there before. I know we have read it before. But I tell you what, it is absolutely amazing how these basic scriptures, time and again, when it comes down to the pivotal points or the fulcrum points in history, all of these things come into focus. And I want to just emphasize something here very, very clearly. Okay. Verse 18. Romans 1. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. That's all ungodliness. See. And unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now, even more it's going to be held in contempt, right? Even more because of what's happening in religion, because of what people perceive as religion, because of what people perceive as Christianity. Because that when they, that which may be known of God is manifest to them, for God has showed it to them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. You can see it. You can see it. Being understood by the things which are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So you go back, what now, five generations? I mean, generations of going through high school. Five or six generations now since they kicked God out of the classroom and allowed evolution to be taught. Back then, the problems in school were what? Well, cutting in line, throwing spitballs, laughing in class, not sitting still. Now what are the problems in school? Robbery, murder, rape, drugs. It all took five generations. 18 times five is not even that. Not even that. Four. It's about right. 18 times. When was the Scopes trial? 1920 or 30? I don't recall. Anyway, from the Scopes trial on, it really accelerated. Okay? So that they are without excuse. You know, lots of times we say, these people are blinded and don't know. But God says they're without excuse. If you look out and you see the majesty of everything that God has created, and you say this just happened, you're without excuse.
I think the Scopes trial, one of the 10 times they're trying to do.
Okay, verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. And boy, that is sure true. And it's becoming increasingly more true. because it's compounding and multiplying and getting deeper and thicker and heavier. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible men, to birds, to four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God gave them over. Now let's notice how God is involved here. The wrath of God, verse 18, is revealed. Verse 20, God manifested to them. Verse 20, God showed it to them. And they understood as God had, verse 20, so that they are without excuse. So then when they go through all these things of changing these, we've seen it change. To where now, yes, you can teach sodomy, you can teach bestiality, you can teach all kinds of perversion, you can teach lying, you can teach stealing in classes, but you can't mention the name of God. You can't even open a school board meeting with prayer anymore. Oh, but we can teach every perversion under the sun. Wherefore, God gave them up. God did. See, God did it. He turned them over. God turned them over to uncleanness through the lust of their own bodies. And who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the created more than the creator who is blessed forever. Verse 26, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. God did. That even their women did change the natural use of that which is against nature. And when I was down in Los Angeles last week, Joan, who used to work at the University of California at Los Angeles, UCLA, they had a lesbian sorority all certified by the school to receive school funds. There's no stopping it, brethren. With this AIDS disease, just like one homosexual said, we are going to sodomize your children. Every chance we get in your schools, in your bathrooms, in your bus stops, we are going to pervert their minds where they will come to our feet and worship us and beg for our delights. It's wicked. No wonder Lot was frustrated every day. And it talks about the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning her own lust. But you see what they do? They call evil good and good evil. And God says when that happens, he says what? Woe to them. Isaiah the 5th chapter. Okay. So they received the recompense which was fit. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over. Notice what God intervenes in a person's mind when they reach a point of evil that they are determined in it. God does something to that mind. Gave them over to reprobate minds to do the things which are not convenient. Then it goes on saying here, verse 32, I won't go through all the things that they've done because that's not the point I want to cover. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. New Testament says they're worthy of death. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Then he comes to chapter 2 and he's dealing with the Jew who was what? The Jew who is supposed to bring the knowledge of God to the world. Right? Verse 1, therefore you are inexcusable, O man, whosoever you are that judge. For herein, wherein you judge another, you condemn yourself, for you that do that judge do the same things. And we're seeing this on this religious thing. Here Jimmy Swaggart got up there, beat the pulpit, pounded the Bible, ranted and raved and jumped up and down and sweat and cried and stuck his finger and fist in everybody's face to say that this is an evil, corrupt cancer, this Jimmy Baker thing on the ministry of Christ. And he turns around and does the same thing. Absolutely incredible. So let's go to chapter 2 and see what it says here. Yes, he has. That's right. That's right. Been doing it for years. Now, verse 17, behold, you are called a Jew. We can apply this to those who say, behold, we are Christian and rest in Christ. and make your boast of God. Here it is with the Jews in the law. And you know his will and approve the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and are confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to them which are in darkness, an instructor of foolishness, a teacher of babes, which has the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. He said, you have all of this. You, therefore, which teach another, don't you teach yourself? That's the whole key. You know, they have to teach themselves too. Learn from God's word. You that preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? You that say a man should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? There it is right there. Right in the word of God. In the Bible that he held up and put in the face of other people. You that abhor idols, do you commit sacrilege? You that make your boast in the law, through breaking the law, do you dishonor God? Now notice verse 24. Here's what's happening to all Christianity right now today because of it. And I'm sure that Satan laid the trap. And I'm sure that he caused it to be. For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. How many people today curse God because of those things? Curse religion, curse the truth, have nothing to do with the Bible or anything because of that sort of thing. And, you know, and we've lived through it within the Church of God and have seen that thing take place. Now we see it's happening in those denominations which call themselves Christians. You know, it's a denomination called what? Assemblies of God. And it's actually a literal name of the Church of God. Ecclesia tou Theou. Ecclesia means assembly. And translated. That's correct. The Sabbath keeping and the Sunday keeping went their two individual ways. So they've, you know, there is a connection there. You know, there. Look, brethren, there is so much sin in the world. Now, I don't want anyone to, you know, by all means, do not get the wrong idea. And do not think in any way that I am lessening the meaning of the Sabbath and the holy days. But the world is so evil that God first wants the people to get their moral lives straight and round. And I cannot, I've said it before, but I cannot help but thinking of the sons of Rechab. You know, that Jeremiah was told by God, send for them. And their father said, don't drink any wine. They refused to drink any wine. And God was saying to them, look, here, this one little command that their father said, don't drink any wine. And they're faithful. Therefore, I'm going to bless them throughout all their generations because of that. See? You know? He wasn't saying about the Sabbath. He wasn't talking about different things. He said, because of that one thing, that they obeyed their father. And he says, yet you wouldn't do it to me. See? So I tell you, God is looking around. Who even has any moral character? I mean, just among the general population. I mean, the Church of God, he's going to take care of. The world, he has to judge. So he's looking and seeing. It's being assaulted. You remember the final thing that I did on the modern Jesuits? The abolition of Christ? It's even more so today than when I read that, what, just 6, 8, 10 weeks ago. Sure is. And speaking of the Jesuits, the president of Panama, who's in hiding secret someplace, is a Jew by nationality, a Jesuit by training. Does that ring any bells with what's happening? The New Agers to make a better society? And I just imagine he's hiding out in some Catholic monastery way back up in the hills someplace that no one knows where he is, and he has on a monk's uniform. Because you know that if Noriega knew where he was, he would get him. Okay? All right. So here, and this happened in the church of God, the name of God is blasphemed among the world or the Gentile or the nations or peoples, through you, as it is written, for circumcision verily profits if you keep the law. But if you be a breaker of the law, your circumcision is made uncircumcision. If therefore the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not the uncircumcision which by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge you who by the letter and circumcision do transgress the law? Ooh, those are heavy words. Oh, that's powerful to a Jew. I mean, he just incensed at hearing that. For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and the circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Boy, that's, you know, what a way to introduce the whole book there, chapter 1 and 2. It's just, that's awfully powerful. And this is just a letter, you know. This is just a letter, but quite a thing. And you can see that happening now. You're going to watch the evangelist on the radios will just become the laughing stock. There are already all kinds of songs and jokes. And what was that? KGO played the song Jimbo about Baker, you know, Jimbo this and what he's, you know, ridicule. Who's going to believe when you stand up and say it's in the Bible? God says. First thing you're going to do is say, who have you slept with? I mean, it's terrible. I mean, it's something. Boy, it's something. So anyway, next week we'll get into the things of the Passover and the Holy Day and so forth, but I could not help but when I got this, I thought, boy, you know, this ought to be pretty good here. But it is, the doctrine's 150 years old. And anyone want to borrow it? You can. You know, when that dime comes, when it's, you can't buy and sell, that, you know, the end is near.
The overseas offices are Canada, Post Office Box 125, Brockville, Ontario, Postal Code K6V5V2. For Australia, Biblical Truth Ministries, GPO Box 1574, Sydney 2001. New Zealand, Post Office Box 242, Waihi, Waihi, 2981. Republic of South Africa, Post Office Box 2624, Wilro, Wilro, Park, Postal Code 1731. United Kingdom, Post Office Box 8224, Witham, Postal Code CM81WZ, United Kingdom.